Morning. Thanks. We're going to continue into the letter to the that the Apostle John wrote to the saints. And we're going to do John chapter 2. Last week we mentioned that John was writing this when there was a sect. And he was writing it to these dear ones who were having fellowship one with the other, not only with themselves, but with God and the Lord Jesus Christ who has saved them. So the theme is still fellowship. This little letter is the theme on fellowship. And we're going to just look at the first one, fellowship with the family of God. And mark of growth in the Christian family fellowship. And then danger to the Christian fellowship, and then mark of those in Christian fellowship. I want to thank you all for the prayers for Denise. As we heard a little while ago, you know, sometimes you can be doing good, but then there is setback. So just continue praying for her, that the Lord might continue to overrule in all situations. 1 John chapter 2. And we read, 1 John, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So right away here, John goes into the letter, and he's writing to those in the Christian family. The letter is, my little children. And someone has said, or one of the commentators has said, because John was a elderly man, he was addressing all the children of God as children, you know, little children. And that's good, because God sees us as his children. Right here in the beginning, he didn't put, you know, a age bracket on it, if you want to look at it that way. He just say, my little children. And when we come to God, when we know God as our personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he does for us. We who were outside of the camp, we who did not know him, we who ask him into our life. We are further down in the chapter, we're going to see this. We who were in darkness have brought into light his life, or his light living into us, and we can go on for him. So, as little children, or the children of God, we have fellowship with one another. And not only with one another, but we have fellowship with the body of Christ. This morning we gather to have fellowship with one another, to break bread, to remember what the Lord has done for us. And that's having fellowship. After that, we went downstairs and we had fellowship, sharing a cup of coffee, a slice of cake, or whatever. But we are having fellowship and talking to one another. That's the way we get to know each other. And so, right here in the first two verses, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not only the Savior of our soul, but is also the advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only ours, but for the whole world. Yeah, that's what he came to do. He gave his life so that I might live through him. It says there, little children, reflect to all the members of the family of God. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Sin breaks fellowship, but it does not break relationship. You see, once you're born in a family, you're that family. You cannot change it. You didn't ask for it. You were born in that fellowship. Yeah, we can do everything to displease our family, displease mom and dad, displease the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, because he saved us. But he won't abandon us. We are his children. We sin. We come to him. We ask him for forgiveness. And as a father does, he forgives his children. Yeah, this is what this is saying. It might be long sometime that we go through stuff that we don't understand. But God knows. God knows. And one day you will hear why this happened. We are born again, each one of us. We become a child of God. The Father gave him that love and he showed it unto us. The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteous defender. He's also the propitiation for our sins. This means that by dying for us, he freed us from the guilt of our sins and restored us to God by providing the needed satisfaction and by removing every barrier to fellowship. If you are outside of Christ, you're outside of Christ. But when you're a child of God, you're in fellowship. And so, if you disobey the Father then, you broke the relationship. The relationship is broken. And so you can't have that fellowship as you have before. You got to go and ask for forgiveness. And this is what John was writing to these dear ones about. So, having fellowship is being right with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Asking for cleansing, asking for forgiveness, and continuing on where you left off. And verse 3, we're going to see Christian fellowship in obedience. If we are a Christian, we have to obey what God says. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So right away, if you are a Christian having fellowship with God, the first thing, we have to obey him. It's right there, his commandment. We have to do what he asks us to do. We have to do what he set forth in the scripture. We got to adhere to them and keep them. Right away, he's saying, now by this we know that we know him. We're talking about believers here. Know him if we keep his commandment. He who say, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, that's the first one. Obedience. Obedience to his word, obedience to what he says, and obedience to what he tells us to do. Obedience means to obey the teachings of the New Testament, what he is saying, his words. There's another one in chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, but whoever, that's you and me, keep his word. The second one, a Christian in fellowship has to keep his word. His word, not your word, not my word. But his word. Verse 5 tells us right that. But whoever keep his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So we got to keep his word. It's not, you know, we get the word and we don't just put it on the shelf. You know, you don't know the word. You got to read the word. You got to study the word. You have to understand the word. And this is what he's saying, dear ones. We are Christians. So we got to read the word to know what goes on in it. What is right from what is wrong. It's not only from the pulpit here, because sometimes you don't know all. You got to read the word. It's right in there. You got to read it, and you got to meditate, and you got to come to a decision on your home. So yeah, the second one, if you're a child of God, in the fellowship of God, in the fellowship of the Christian fellowship, you got to walk. You got to read his word. Read his word. Yeah. And then the third one is in verse 6, he who says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And that's the third one, to walk. We have to walk as he walked. How did he walk? How did God walk? Did you remember? He never, when he was unhurt, he never think of himself. He always think of others. He always doing the things of other people good. He always looked to heal, to do good to the people. And that's what we have to do. We have to do what he asks us to do. And then there is another one. To keep his word in verse 5 means not only obedience to what is written, but a desire to do what we know would please him. Yeah, what we know would please him. And that's the desire of our heart, you know, to please him, to do good to others around us. Not only what we know is good, or not only what we know is written there, but always striving to please him, to please him. Yes. And then the other one, there's another one, and this is both in verse 5 and verse 7 here. Brethren, I write no new commandments to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Yeah, and that is it. Remember when we do chapter 1? In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yeah, but he's telling us here in verse 7, if you believe in God, you got to believe what he said. And not only that, jump back up to verse 5, it says, the second part of verse 5, it said, the love of God is perfected in him. Yeah, if we love him, we got to do what he says. Loving is always showing. Loving, you don't just love somebody and don't do what he says. Loving is showing. The Father loved me, and he gave his only begotten Son. And his Son went to the cross and died for us. Me, loving, seeing something that need to be done, we do it. Seeing somebody who is aching, we try to comfort. Seeing somebody that really need, you try to help right there. And that's doing the love of God. Greater love hath no man than this man, Christ Jesus, laying down his life for us. And if we follow those few commandments, the right commandment, loving him as he loves us, doing what he asks us to do, these will build up in our heart. And we will be looking to always do something that pleases the Father. Walking as he walk in verse 6 is the full expression of God's standard for his people. It means to live as Jesus lives. His life shown in the gospel is our pattern and our guide. Our responsibility to him is to turn our lives over to him and allow him to live his life in us and through us. Yeah, that's what the fellowship of God's people does. Christ living in me, not my life showing there. I can't do it. If you do it by yourself, we're going to fail there once. But Christ living in me is doing what he asks us to do and doing what's there in the scripture for us to do. I can't tell you more, but one day, you know, when we see our Savior, that God who so loved us, that Christ who died for us, then we will understand it better by and by. Yeah. One day when we don't expect it, this one will come for us. Now, if you're looking up, you will expect it. But if we are not, then it's going to surprise you. The only thing you have to do is to be ready. Is to be ready. Yeah. So as we read on in John, John was, you know, as I said, there was a cult there. And this cult was trying to do a lot of things, stirring up the people of God. And they didn't believe in, they believed in Jesus, but they thought Jesus and the Christ was different. And they tried to stir that up. But John write this letter and explain to them that they are to believe in the gospel that they heard from the beginning. And that's the basic of our Christian fellowship or Christian walk. Christ came into the world to die for sinners. Christ went to the cross and died there. And he has asked us to do whatever is pleasing to him. In verse 8 we read, "Again a new commandment I write to you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." And this is meaning here the new believer or the believer who has accepted Christ but's not really fully understanding his love. You know, some of the darkness is still in him, but there's a little light. But this is working in his heart. And he knows that God is with him. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. That means he get the love of God. Christ in him, Christ in his heart is showing. Verse 9, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." Another important one is those in fellowship needs to show the pathway to others. You know, in other words, when you're walking in fellowship, people see that you're different. But then if those same people see you walking different than walking in fellowship, they will have a kind of question sign in their mind. Well, how can this be happening? You say you're this, a Christian, and yet you're not a Christian. So what is happening? So here it's saying the darkness is still there. In verse 9, it says, "He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now." That means that one didn't get saved, or that means he's still in darkness. And you can see that as we move along. 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. You see, the difference there's darkness and then there's light. If you have light in your heart, if Christ is living in your heart, there's no darkness. Your pathway is going to shine. The light in you is going to make your pathway clear. And so you're living for God. If you're not, then you're doing the wrong thing. If you turn over to verse 11, now we're going to see the true darkness, it said. "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So four things right there. If you say you're a Christian and you're still doing these things, you weren't born again. You were still in darkness. First of all, it said, he who hates his brother is in darkness. Your eyes isn't open. You're still in your sin. And if he walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He's in darkness. He's walking in darkness because his eyes is blind. And he doesn't know where he's going because his eyes are blind. He hasn't come to the full realization of Jesus Christ giving the perfect love in his heart. How can we make that clearer? You're either born again, dear ones, or we are not. You either love the Lord or you hate him. You either be on the side of the fellowship of God or you're on the side of the fellowship of the devil. Yeah, these are basic doctrine here. The Apostle John was writing. We can understand that. You know, in their days, they didn't have the Bible. They have to take what is written. But we have it here. We can go home and we can read it for ourselves. We can see it. It's right there. And we can understand it. Even if you cannot understand it, somebody will interpret it for you. You have books, you have dictionaries, you have the computer. You can go on that and Google and all that kind of stuff. So nobody can fool you, right? Yeah, these are basic Christian doctrine. You love the Lord, you live for him, and you do the things that he asks you to do. If you don't, you're not living for him. You're living a lie. You're not saved. God has not come into your heart. You have to give him all. Or if not, you can't give him half. You can't give him a quarter. You got to give him all. It's Christ. I think Dick Saunders had a song when he did evangelism. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Yeah, and that's it. Christ for me. You either live for Christ or you live outside of the realm of Christ. You didn't know him. Are you still in your sins and you want to be saved? You want to be born again. And salvation is still available, dear ones, this day. And we can have it if you only ask him to give you new life. Verse 12, here we go again. The Christian family have fellowship with God. Again, the apostle writes in verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. And this is, again, reaching out to each individual believer. This year, each individual believer. He didn't go back and say what your age, what your gender, or what your responsibility. He's just saying, I write to you, little children. I'm in that little children gap. You and you and you and you are in that little children gap. And this is what he's saying now. Because your sins are forgiven you. Praise God. Praise God. Our sins are forgiven us because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us there at Calvary. He loved us and he went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Verse 13, I said, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Here, the apostle is going to differentiate now. He talk about each one of us, the whole realm. And now he starts with the fathers. Why? Because the father is there from the beginning. He knows the word. He's up in grade, if you want to put it that way. He knows the scripture. He read the scripture. He have a little family time. He does what is right. And so he writes that, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. Who is from the beginning? The Lord Jesus Christ. God is in the beginning. The love of God was there. The Father was there. The Son was there. And the Holy Spirit was there. So if you ask him into your heart, the Holy Spirit right away indwells you. And this is what he's saying. Fathers, I call upon you because you were there from the beginning. You know the word. So help your children, your loved ones, your in-laws, your friends, your families to know the word. Or encourage them. Pray for them. One day they will. Maybe not in my lifetime or your lifetime. But one day they might come back and say, yeah, I remember when my father used to tell me about these stories in the Bible. Yeah. Train a child in the way that he ought to go, and when he grow up, he will not depart from it. Because you remember these little kids there this morning? You hear them? Yeah, shouting the word of God. And then we go on, I write to you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Yeah, young men, you're strong, and you have overcome the wicked one. Why? Because you know the scripture. Why? Because God lives in you. Why? Because you stand up strong against the wiles of the devil, and you know what God wants you to do, and we do it. So young men, I call upon you because you have overcome the wicked one. And then I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And this here is different from the first one up here. Little children now means those who are new believers, new converts. They're saved. They're just learning the word. But they have been forgiven by the Father. And they're growing. So this is it. The Lord Jesus has done this great work for us. We can't even imagine, you know, because in our life, if it comes to the portion, or it comes to the point where one of us, I think, have to give our life for our son, we would really have to think it over. Really? We would really have to think it over. Even if that son doesn't treat you right, even if that son is not a Christian, even if that son is outside of God and Christ, even if that son doesn't listen to you, you would think it hard, I think, dear ones, to give that son up. But God, in his mercy, in his majesty, in his beauty, he loves us. And he not only loves us, but as Len Brooks would say, he demonstrated his love by sending his son. And his son was willing to go to the cross and die there for me, a sinner like me. Yeah, that's the gospel in pure English. God loved me, he died for me, and he gave himself for me. Yeah, the apostle is saying to each of us here this morning, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. You gave your life to me, and now I'm going to teach you as I go on again. And then he repeats it here in verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. God loved me and gave himself for me. And then I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. You're going to see the change here, because there is a couple of stuff here that he says about the young men. Because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You see that? It's two more steps. You're strong, you know the word of God, and you have overcome the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? The devil. That one who has tried to trip us up, to let us do stuff that displeases the Father and put us in trouble. But he, the young man, each one of you this morning who are young, I'm in the old category, if you want to put it that, and God has given you the power, given us the power through his son to overcome the wicked one. Yeah, these are basic little Christian principle here. And we know this, but this is what we are teaching here this morning. God love us. God demonstrate his love for us. God sent his son to die for us. And each individual one here in this audience this morning are the children of God. And he, the Apostle John, is writing to all of us. Yeah, yeah. Whether you just know Christ, whether you're a young man, whether you're a whole man, he's writing these to us. And these are things that we should be doing, living for Christ. You know, by his strength, by his power, day by day, the little things that we do for him will last forever. It might not seem that way. But when maybe we are past and gone, somebody will remember Jerry, somebody will remember Benny, Mike, and so forth. Yeah, for the little time they take to do these little jobs for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, and by doing them, we reach higher, higher and higher and higher until we see him face to face. Christian fellowship here changes again right down here in verse 15. We call it hindrances to Christian fellowship. Hindrances to Christian fellowship. Verse 15 said, "Do not love the world or the things that is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And here again, these are our basic Christian doctrine that is being mentioned over and over again. Yeah, you can't have fellowship with the world because the world is going to pull you in. It doesn't mean the world here. It means the things of the world, you know, the kind of pressure the world put on Christians. And you have to rise above this and be strong to do what he asks us to do. Yeah, if you love the world, hey, you're going to be doing stuff of the world. Yeah? But if you move away from the world, you're saved, you're born again, the light is in you. So remember that. You're going to be doing what the light tells you to do. Verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Yeah, that's all in the world. The lust of the high, the pride of life, and also these things all will pass away. All will pass away, but God loves for you and me. And the love that you have for the brethren will never, never, never fail. Yeah, I see that and I say that. Hindrances of Christian fellowship is always there. This world false doctrine and this world false teaching, all of that is of the world, not of Christ. He loves us and he demonstrates that love for us. And so if we live in the world and the light is in us, the light is going to overshine the darkness. You never get lost in the light. But we will get lost in the darkness. Live for Christ as best you can. Show him that he is living in us. Show him that he won our life for goodness. And that one day we shall be with him forever. And we will understand it when we see him. The world, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Yeah, he who does the will of God abides forever. That means you're in the fellowship here. And you continue until the God of glory call you home to be with him. You live forever. That's what that means here. One day we have to face him, you know. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a sinner, we have to face him. And we have to give an account if you're a believer, what you have been doing for me. And also those who are still outside of God and Christ. So, dear ones, as we press on because God loved us. And God gave his son for us. And one day we shall rise up and we shall see him as he is. Here again, in verse 18, it said, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know this is the last hour." And this is saying here, while we are here working for him, the Antichrist, who is the Antichrist? Those who do not accept God as their personal savior, those who rejected God and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are antichrists, people who reject him, people who do not know him, people who go against him. Yeah, they do not know Christ, so they are antichrists. You and me who know him should show that he knows us, he loves us, and we should continue for him day by day. And so the next one is, "They went out from us, and they that were not of us, for if they were of us, they would not have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and none of them were of us. And these are, you know, the same Antichrist people who always say they were in fellowship, but no, they have gone somewhere else. They left the fellowship and is doing their own thing. And so the apostle is saying, these were not of us. These were not of us. Because if they were of us, they would be with us. They would still be with us. They would be pressing on. But if they are not, they move on. And they see that the doctrine is not for them. So they go out and do their own thing. But, verse 20 said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And what this is saying here, you have an anointing from the Holy One. That means you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gives us the Holy Spirit within us. And so you will know, you will differ right from wrong. You will know when somebody is not really saved. They're just faking it. You know, and that's one of the things. You can't fake this thing. You either know the Lord Jesus Christ and are living for Him, or you either be on the outside and want to be on the inside. And that is simple. That is easy. All we do, we give ourselves to Him. Right? Because one day, you know, He knows us. He sees us. He sees what we do. And we can't hide. So these are facts, dear ones. And all we got to do is do what He asks us to do and live for Him. 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. See that? But because you know it, and that is no lie, it is of a truth. Yeah, so He was writing to these dear believers who know the truth, but He's just encouraging them to press on in what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. You're standing up for God. You're standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves you, and He's going to continue to do what's right for you. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is a Christ? He's Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. There you have it. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. And the key verse here in this little letter is verse 24. It said, therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Yeah, the Father loved the Son. The Father gave the Son. And we who ask Him into our lives, we abide in Him. That's the love of God. God loved me and gave Himself for me. One day is coming, dear ones, when we, as Christian, we either continue in fellowship, or if you weren't a Christian, you'd walk away. But if you're a Christian, we should fellowship, do the right thing that God asks us to do. And what is that? Love the brethren. Love, God loved me and gave Himself for me. Love one another. Love the Word of God, doing what He asks us to do. And day by day, we will grow as the time goes on. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we have another privilege to encourage each other here this morning. Father, we just want to thank You that You love sinners like me and others. And You not only love, but You gave Your Son for us. Cause that, Father, as we think on these things, as we read Your Word, we might catch these clearer glimpses for ourselves, and we might meditate on it. We think of those who are going through our times today. Father, we pray that You might just draw beside them and encourage them. Help us then, Father, to go forth and show that the love of God is in us, and we can pass it on to others. Thank You for this opportunity again. Bless Your people here this morning, and continue to give them blessing. because, Father, one day we shall see you and we shall be with you forever. We give you thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.